You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now here's Penna Dexter.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Our next guest says that God speaks to people today just as he did in biblical times, and he is known for pushing his readers out of their comfort zones beyond the safe Christian life that many settle for. Well, that sounds good to me. He's got a new book out called Walking with God, and he is John Eldridge. And let me tell you a little bit about him. He's founder and director of Ransomed Heart Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is a fellowship devoted to people to help them discover the heart of God. He's the author of several bestsellers, which include Epic, Walking the Dead, Wild at Heart, and The Way of the Wild Heart. And he's also co-author of a book, Captivating, with his wife. And before I introduce John Eldridge, I'd like to introduce my in-studio co-host for the next two segments, Dr. Denny Burke. He's professor of New Testament here at the Criswell College. Denny, thanks for being with me. I know that you're looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Penna.
All right. And John Eldridge is on the line. John, thank you for joining us.
Penna, thanks for having me.
All right. Tell us, first of all, why you wrote this book. Do you think people have sort of a superficial communication with God?
I think they're frustrated, for the most part. At least the Christians that I talk to, I think people want a deeper, closer relationship with God. I think it's deep in our hearts to want that. But either they haven't been told that it's available, or they haven't been sort of coached and shown how to cultivate a real friendship with Jesus, and a friendship that includes a two-way communication.
Okay, well, prayer, of course, it's kind of sad sometimes when we just kind of walk in. I guess you could picture it like walking into the Oval Office to see the president and just sitting down and making a bunch of demands. And that is not what prayer was meant to be, is it?
Well, that's a great picture. It's also a horrible one when you think about it. Who would do that, you know?
One would do that, but we do it all the time in our prayer life.
I know. Or take something more intimate, just like a father and a son or a daughter. You know, the father's longing that we be close. We as parents would love to have rich conversations with our kids. You know, we don't want to just get home and say, how was your day? Fine. And that's the end of the conversation. You know, that prayer was not intended to be speech-making. It wasn't intended to be a one-way communication. That there is a give and take. In John 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name, and they follow me because they know my voice.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, my guest is John Eldridge, and his book is Walking with God. And John, I want you to get very specific with us now and to tell us how you hear this voice. I mean, in a sense, I think we've, as believers, if you have any kind of a relationship with Christ, you've experienced the prompting of the Holy Spirit for things. You've experienced God leading through circumstances, certainly through the Word of God. God speaks to us. But I think this goes beyond that. So would you please describe this?
I'd love to, but let me first say, of course the Scriptures are first. Of course the Scriptures are our bedrock. And that's just so assuring to know that anything that we feel or hear or sense that would contradict what's in the written Word, you know, we can reject it, you know, flat out. It's just so good to have it in black and white. But I do think the Scriptures invite us into something that is conversational as well. It doesn't trump the Word of God. But there's a lot of things, for example, Penna, that the Word of God doesn't specifically address. My folks are getting older, and I know the Scriptures tell me to love and to honor my mother and father, but I don't know if I'm supposed to invite them to live with us now. I mean, what do we do to help them with their care? Well, those are the kind of things I want to take to God in prayer and make those decisions with God, with His counsel and His direction. Now, sometimes when I'm sitting in my prayer life, I'll just be quiet, and I'll say, Father, what is your counsel here? You know, do we have my folks move in with us now? And sometimes, not always, but sometimes I'll hear a thought or a word in my heart, in my inner life. It's not something I hear like you and I are talking right now. It's
Do you hear it with your ears?
No. You hear it with your heart. You hear it internally. And God will say, no, not this year. And in fact, that happened, and we were able to go several more years.
How do you know you're not just thinking that?
Yes, this is so important. Oswald Chambers says, if you want to know if a thought is from God or not, you test the fruit of it. And of course, the first test is always against Scripture. I mean, God's not going to tell you to have, you know, an affair with the pastor, all right? He's never going to tell you to do crazy things like that are so clearly, you know, against Scripture. But Oswald also says, we have that principle from Jesus where he says, you'll know them by their fruit. You know, is the fruit of this love, joy, peace, you know, patience, kindness, does it bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Does it bear the fruit of God? Now, I know some very dear Christians who love God deeply, and they hear, quote, you know, very discouraging things inside, you know, accusations, you're such an idiot, you're blowing it, you know, wow, you really messed that up. You know, nobody really likes you. And I'm safe to say that is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that kind of accusation, contempt. You know we have an accuser, and it's sure not God. So there's testing it, testing the fruit of it. But the beautiful thing about this, Penna and Denny, is that as we cultivate this over time, it's no different than any other relationship. I can recognize my wife's laughter across a crowded room. I just 25 years of marriage, I can pick her voice out in a very loud audience because we know each other. And I think that this is something that we haven't invited Christians as sort of a discipline to experience, is being still before God and not just chattering away, but being quiet and giving him the opportunity to speak to us if he'd like to.
All right, John Eldridge is with me, and again, he's got a new book out, Walking with God, and he's also going to be in Dallas on April 16th at Fellowship Bible Church Dallas at 7 p.m. If you want to talk with him. Also with me in studio is Dr. Denny Burke.
Hello, Mr. Eldridge. How do you do?
I'm great. Thank you.
I was noticing in your book that you say that you are trying to teach others how to have a conversational intimacy with the Lord, and I'm listening to you now, and it sounds like you're saying, though, the conversation is different than, say, the way Jeremiah conversated with the Lord when he actually audibly heard the word of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
You're saying that you don't audibly hear the words of the Lord with your ears, but it's more like an impression that you get, and that you have to learn how to distinguish one
Absolutely.
Impression from another.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's very important. I don't know any of the saints in recent years, you know, reading people like C.S. Lewis or Luther or you know, Wesley, who describe an external voice. But what we're talking about is something that is internal. And I think impressions is one category. People kind of use the phrase, I had a check in my spirit, right, that where you're praying about something and you just don't have a peace or a sense of a green light, you don't have an affirmation. I think those things are valuable. I don't think they are immutable, or, you know, I don't think that they sort of trump the written word, but I think that they're important to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because what I'm after is in John 10, Jesus invites us to be followers. And what I found is that so many of us are making decisions, you know, we're setting a direction for our lives, you know, we're choosing things, you know, from our kids' school to the church we'll attend to the business that we work for without letting Christ genuinely lead us. I want to bring Jesus into the details of my life.
So if it's sort of a non-audible impression, what would be, Describe to us some biblical texts that teach us to listen to God's voice as a non-audible impression.
Well, just take, how do you understand John chapter 10 when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice? He says it four times in John 10 alone. He says, I call them by name, and they follow me. And what we have to also take into account here is that I know literally hundreds of Christians who hear the voice of God. And meaning an internal voice, and the fruit of listening to him has been incredibly biblical. People coming to Christ, people starting churches, going on mission trips. You know, we just took the gospel to Australia in December, And it was not on our ministry calendar, but in one of our prayer times, we felt, sensed, heard that God was moving us, prompting us to take the gospel to an event in Australia. And it was incredibly fruitful. And so you look at the fruit of it, and you go, wow, that sure looks like God to me.
Sure. I guess what I would say for John 10 is that Jesus was speaking to hearers who were listening to him speak in the narrative of John, and Jesus was going and preaching in places, and they heard him, and he was just saying that his sheep would listen to him and follow him. He would say, you know, like in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you, that you should go and bear much fruit, he told his disciples. It seemed like the speaking, though, was audible speaking on Jesus's part to people who were listening to him preach. And it seems like that's why it seems like a difficult methodology, because in your book you say, I want to make a deeper walk with God available. I believe we can learn to hear his voice. It just seems like it's important for listeners to see that the hearing you're talking about is different than the audible hearing that we see in the Scripture.
Yes, it is different than that. But Jesus is still alive, and he still very much wants to speak to his people. And so you have Revelation 3, for example, where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, this is after his resurrection and ascension, right? He's no longer physically present, but he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." And actually, as you know, that's a letter written to the church. So he's talking to believers there.
I've got to jump in. We are not going to end it here. John Eldredge is our guest, and we will continue with him and Dr. Denny Burke right after this.
For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness?
No partnership.
Or what fellowship has light with darkness?
No partnership.
Or what harmony has Christ with Belial or Satan?
No partnership.
Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And the answer to those is negative.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to a very special event. Friday night, April 18th, we'll be at Crossroads Christian Church in Grand Prairie.
Friday night, April 18th, it's an evening with John MacArthur.
I love the fact he is called the living God.
Don't forget, April 18th, 7:30 p.m., an evening with John MacArthur.
And you, our faithful Criswell Communications family. Why? Just to say thank you for your faithful support of this radio ministry. From San Angelo or Texoma or even in the Metroplex, you're invited to this evening with John MacArthur.
The Spirit lives within us. The Spirit of Christ, the living God, dwells in us.
April 18th at 7:30, an evening with John MacArthur.
A free gift from our family to yours on CRN.
You're listening to Jerry Johnson Live. Now, here's Penna Dexter.
Welcome back to Jerry Johnson Live. Interesting conversation with John Eldredge and Dr. Denny Burke. The book is Walking with God. And I've got just a couple of concerns just on the face of this, John. And one is, how do you know you heard right?
Well, you know what's important is we need to back up to our presuppositions. I can sense, Penna, that you and Denny don't agree with my take on John 10 or probably a number of the other scriptures. And we probably ought to back up and look at assumptions and say, do you believe that God still communicates with his followers today? And how does he do that?
Yes. I would say yes, that he does communicate with his followers today. But the question is, how does he do that? I guess I'm a little skeptical because I can't find a biblical warrant for looking for impressions as inerrant guides to how to lead our lives. I was noticing, like, for instance, on page 30 where you speak about 1 Kings chapter 19 and how the Lord spoke to Elijah with the still small voice. But even then, the voice that he heard was an audible one on the mountain. It wasn't.
Now, how do you know that, actually? Denny, that's an assumption you're bringing to the passage. It doesn't make that clear.
Except that he says words in the passage.
Oh, and I hear words internally, and I know literally hundreds, if not thousands.
Well, John, you didn't answer my question, though, because when you look at the Word of God and you can see it in black and white, it's there. But how do you know that you heard him right? How do you know that you really heard God? I need you to answer that.
Honey, it's so important. I think you test
Honey?
Tested. Penna. I'm sorry. I said Penny.
All right.
You
tested against what? I mean, you tested against the Scripture. You never want to go and contradict Scripture, but we're talking about issues that the Scripture doesn't address, like what you mentioned with your parents, and there are many others like that. You know, what do I do about this in my life? But, you know, you're asking God to tell you. How do you know you heard him right?
Why does Paul pray in Ephesians chapter 1 that we would be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation? I think we need both. I think we need wisdom, where God says, you know, or you think, let me say, you think you've heard God say, take the family fortune and head to Vegas. Well, you know, wisdom immediately steps in and says, oh, good grief. That's irresponsible. Don't step out on that. So, of course, we have wisdom. Of course, we live this balanced life. But we also invited to engage a living God who wants to speak into our lives today. And yes, through the Scriptures. But also, I'm very interested to know, Penna, Danny, what do you do with stories like the one I told you about taking the gospel to Australia? And the fruit of it is hundreds of people coming to God. Now, we believe we heard God say that. Did he speak to us or didn't he?
Yeah, sure. Two things I would say to that. Number one, I want to affirm the fact that the Lord leads us and that he can do that in a number of different ways, using circumstances in our lives, using other believers in our lives, speaking into our lives, using the Bible. So I want to affirm that. I think that you and I agree on the fact that the Lord leads us through many different ways. What I'm trying to make a distinction between is that when we speak of the Lord's leadership through circumstances or fellow believers or wise counsel, to distinguish that from thus saith the Lord, which in the Scripture, it seems to be, especially in these Old Testament examples, or the example of Jesus in John 10, is an audible voice. So I would say, yes, the Lord can lead his people. I would just want to say, is that a conversation that's going on? I know I went through a period in my own life where I thought I was supposed to be able to hear an audible voice from the Lord, and it never happened. And wrestling with these impressions that I was having, but I never could find in Scripture a confirmation how to distinguish impressions, and I just don't see it there. And to raise those to the level of thus saith the Lord, I just don't think that it works.
Yeah,
but I would affirm that the Lord leads. So in the example of your trip, sure, maybe the Lord is leading his people, but to say that God spoke these words audibly and then to equate that with an inner impression, I just don't think that's how the Bible speaks about God speaking words.
Well, let me clarify two things. One, we totally agree that there is no word being given today anywhere on earth that is the equivalent of the written word of God. We both agree on that. That these are not, I'm not trying to say that these are equal things here. Okay, so let's be clear that we agree on that. And we agree that God does speak, guide, lead, move, somehow communicate with his people. So if we believe that and we agree that he still does today communicate with his sons and daughters and lead his people, then why would that preclude an inner voice? I mean, what is there in Scripture that says, but this is not available?
Well, I think that it's asking a negative, asking me to prove a negative. In other words, I think the Scripture prescribes for us how we hear from God. If you want to know the will of God, you must know the Word of God, and that's clear in Scripture. But to say that there's any place in Scripture that confirms or enjoins us to be looking for inner voices, I just don't see that. Now, the Spirit leading people to do something, that's altogether different, but that, at that point, you're not talking about a voice. So I guess that's my response.
And how does the Spirit lead people, Denny?
Well, through a number of different ways. Through the Scripture, he can bring other people into your life. He can bring circumstances which he's sovereignly ordaining into your life. But to talk about speech from God, non-audible speech that's an impression, that I think it can be confusing to believers as to what their expectations are as to how to hear from the Lord. When they're looking, I think you agree with this. First and foremost, we should be looking for the will of God and the Word of God. I think probably where the point of departure is that you're adding on a hearing a Word of God internally, correct?
Yes, I am.
Almost like the spirit of prophecy, perhaps, or something like that?
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand that phrase, so I have to plead ignorance there. But yes, and unfortunately, we're not going to be able to unpack this.
Sure,
today.
Yeah. It's a great discussion. It has, you know, theological implications, and so
it really does. I would say that God clearly is a communicator, and man clearly is a communicator, and that all relationship between two persons requires communication. You can't imagine a marriage or a parent-child relationship surviving without it. And so the very nature of God and man requires that there is some communication. And then how God gets that done and how that plays out, I think we probably do differ in some ways on that. And we probably agree on some ways.
And I think we probably do. And I think some of our listeners would have probably loved to have called in, John. I hate to interrupt, but we are bumping up on the end of the program. I want to encourage people, though, if they want to engage you on this, to show up on the 16th of April at Fellowship Bible Church at 7 p.m. That's the Dallas Fellowship Bible Church. And you can also find out more at walkingwithgod.net. John Eldridge has been with us, and we really appreciate you being with us today. It's been a good discussion.
It was. It was good talking with both of you.
And tomorrow, Norm Geisler, apologist and theologian from Southern Evangelical Seminary, will join us. So you join us.
You've been listening to Jerry Johnson Live, a Christian Worldview radio show. Join Dr. Jerry Johnson, president of Criswell College and Criswell Communications, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for an hour of relevant discussion of news and culture from a Christian perspective.